When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears up!
What's going on, everybody? Ears Up Podcast. We are back in the studio and we are back into your ears. And that's really where we belong. Just fighting with the wax. And let me ask you a question, Eric. Are you a Q-tip to the ear guy? Or do you believe big earwax that it just pushes earwax into your canal?
I kind of buy it. But every once in a while, it's nice to just, you know, twirl one around in there, scratch it, you know, scratch that itch. Yeah.
It feels good.
It feels so great.
And A Silent Echo is right. That is the best ska punk band.
And I'm not deaf yet.
What?
So I'm not deaf yet.
What?
I'm not deaf yet.
Yeah, I'm a big earwax or ear cleaner guy. It feels good. My ears are squeaky clean, but then every once in a while when I can't hear very well or my ear hurts, so I'm like, well, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I'm kicking the can down the road a little bit too far.
Just get your extra long fingernail that you grow out specifically for that purpose and start twirling that around in there.
For no other purpose.
Right.
Absolutely not.
No other purpose. I wasn't going to bring up anything else.
I want you to grow a super long pinky. And then next time you, you're filling a prescription, you just use it to like move the pills into the bottle and just freak everybody else out.
Patients don't like that.
You just hand it to them.
They don't like you touching the pills.
Here's another one. What's going on, everybody? We have another cool show for you today. We have Eric talking about food that he's eating again. Specifically about Ralph Brennan's. And I have a lot of questions about Ralph Brennan's for Eric. And then we're going to do news. We're going to take a break and we're going to do a bunch of news. There's a ton of news. And again, leave it up to Jeremy to go ahead and leave and stop doing our news show when now there's suddenly a ton of stuff to talk about. So we have several stories to get through and they're all going to be cool and funny and not at all boring. What do you think of that?
Yes.
Yeah. But first, if you are planning on going to the parks anytime soon, within the next 3 months, and you should, I mean, why wouldn't you? Plan through ConciEars. You go to ConciEars.com. They will help you navigate all the parks. I see on the Reddit thread, or on the subreddit, Disneyland specific subreddit, that everyone's just confused still about Genie Plus. Some people really like it. Most people don't even understand it. I don't pretend to understand it either. I just say, look, go to ConciEars. They will, and you, this is what you do. You go, hey, guys. Here's all my information. I'm going to the parks, such and such date. This is what we're looking for. This is where we want to stay, but, you know, here are my parameters. And they just do everything for you. They clear it with you, of course, but they do everything for you. And then you go, okay, cool. Now that I got you, now that I'm in, how do I live? How do I exist in the parks in a proper fashion? And they will tell you. They'll tell you how to navigate Genie Plus, Lightning Lane, what all that means. What's the best time to go? What to do? What do you got to do? What's going on? Especially if you haven't been to the parks in a long time, that's the way to do it, is have somebody, and you can message them while you're even at the parks. If you heard about, hey, I heard about Carthay Lounge or Carthay Restaurant. Can I go there? Carthay Circle. But I don't want to get a reservation. I'm bored. I'm standing in line. I don't want to do it. I'm not that bored, but I'm bored. Message concierge. They'll book for you if they can. You know what I mean? They'll do all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So check
them out. If you want the secret trip.
I love secrets.
Oh, we'll do the secret trip.
What's the secret? Oh, where like you don't know anything?
Right. You show up and they say, here's what you're doing today.
Do you do that? Really?
We have done that. Yeah.
That is awesome.
I don't know about an entire trip, but like certain date nights and stuff.
That should be a service like to advertise. I think that'd be awesome. Just be like, yeah, you know, especially if you go a lot. You don't care where, right? You know, it's like, oh, it's another weekend. Whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
I love it. So yeah, ConciEars.com. Thank you very much. They're official travel partner of Ears Up Podcast Network. Hi, Taryn.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't hear anything.
How about now?
Now I do.
Yeah. The volume control is a tricky thing. Yeah, I've basically torn apart the studio. I finally got my streaming computer that I've been waiting for forever. And finally, Taryn's like, look, we're already in credit card debt. So just do it. So I put it together. That was a whole thing. That is, I thought I could do it. You know what I mean? You look at something and you, my personality is I look at someone doing something. I go, that looks easy. I can do that. I can easily put that computer together. And I've done it before, but I've had someone helping me. Right. Because for me, it's just you just plug stuff in and you go, okay, whatever. It is not like that.
It's a little more. Yeah,
it's a lot. Yeah. And so I plugged everything in, flipped the switch on the power supply, and like nothing happened.
It's the worst feeling.
Yeah, it really is. And so I'm online, I'm Googling, I'm looking stuff up. And just nothing, no fan movement, no hum, no lights, just goose eggs everywhere. I'm like, oh man. So I'm like, you know what, Mr. P, bless his heart, he's trying to like help me through it. And finally, I'm like, dude, I'm just going to find a computer nerd locally. I can't do it otherwise. And he's like, oh, we could do it. I'm like, no, man, no, we can't. So I find a computer nerd and he was like, he comes back and he's like, number one, just because you flip the power supply on doesn't mean you're turning the computer on. And that's where my mind goes. Any tower I've ever had, there's a one switch in the back and you bloop and it turns boots the whole system up. This is not that.
You missed the button.
There's a switch on the top.
After the switch.
Yeah, there's a switch on the top. There's a button on the top. And I had that plugged in, but I had it plugged in the wrong place. So it wasn't getting power. And that was it. But he was nice enough, you know, he's like, I'll put in Windows for you and I'll update all your drivers and do all that kind of stuff. So
he was probably like being nice because he knew he was going to charge you when he just had to like do one thing.
Yeah. Well, I'd ask him like, can you just do that? And he's like, yeah, man, I got you. It's fine. Okay, that's good. Cool. Yeah.
But I do understand the like looking at something and being like, I can do that. It's literally the reason like I don't get my nails done by somebody. I haven't had somebody cut my hair in 20 years because I feel like if you could be a hairdresser, so can I.
Yeah, I can do that.
Now I do my own eyelash lifts. I mean, who cares? I don't need anyone.
You don't need anyone. You're a free, young, independent woman. Taryn.
Yeah, I can do it all myself.
Yeah.
Whereas absolutely. I got a haircut tonight.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
For real.
Which one? Which hair did you get? Yeah. Anyway, streaming's weird. So if you're, if you're into the sort of watching live kind of thing, I booted up the Twitch stream again. So it's twitch.tv/earsup. And go ahead and please sub. Please subscribe, even if you're not going to watch anything. But it'd be nice to just get a sub there for me, please. And what I've been doing lately is just doing a lot of gaming, but like testing the stream and like figuring it out. And so you can go and watch, you know, some of that dumb stuff. But what I think I'm going to be doing is like doing some like show research on streams too. And eventually what I want to do is push this stream to Twitch and YouTube. So if you guys are watching on YouTube, you don't need to do anything else. You can just stay here and everything will be fine. But I'd like to put it out to Twitch again, because now that we have a good internet connection, now that we have a good streaming computer, I think I can do that and it would look good. And it just get more people, you know, into the community, right? Into the listening community. So look forward to that. But yeah, follow us on Twitch and you can see me beat my brains out on video games. Or like I said, I'm going to be doing some of, doing like show research. You're sitting down for a couple hours. I'll just share my screen and we'll just look through and I'll be writing notes and just chatting, just hanging out. So could be fun. Could be a nice little addition to the old community there.
That's an interesting idea of live streaming, doing research for these shows.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I could do that. Like if I.
Like if you could watch?
No, if I could actually like if I could do that. I'm not saying like you're allowing me to or whatever, but like.
I mean, that's it. That is it. I haven't told you, but yeah, you need to ask permission from now on. I'm looking for a trad wife, please. Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, all right.
I'm not that cool. But yeah, I don't know. That would be really hard for me, I think.
To sit and like be on stream and do stuff?
The way that I think I do research for this show is so boring.
I mean, it's not interesting. I mean, there's a whole category of just chatting where people are just, they'll still be sitting here.
Yeah.
Just waiting for someone to chat. And then you just chat. And then either they're like folding laundry or, yeah, dude, laundry folding and just like hanging out chatting with the chat is a lot. It's a big thing.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And so like, since I'm going to be doing the stuff anyways,
yeah,
I might as well. And honestly, I think it would keep me focused more because my ADHD is just everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be sitting down for like 10 minutes and then I'll go, oh, you know what I got to do? I haven't talked to Bev in forever. I'm going to call her. And I'll get up and I'll go do that. Or like, oh man, I should really do this. I wonder what the backyard, I wonder if I could put that tomato plant over there. And I'll get up and go look at it. And then I'll go do something else. And then it's like, oh yeah, I got to do the thing. But this way, if I can sit down, I got a screen share up. I do all that kind of stuff. I can sit for like an hour and just, you know, check it out. Especially if people then join in. And then and it's like more of a collaborative thing. Or like, hey, what do you guys think about that? Is that interesting? Is it not? Or whatever.
What I mean. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
I fear I would just sit there quietly clicking on things and forget that people are just looking at me. I'm not looking at the chat and I'm not displaying anything.
I would just have a lot of weird looks on my face, like irritated looks and like, oh, seriously? Oh, well, that's a good article. Like that would be my whole thing.
Yeah. And what I've realized is, you know, in doing these gaming streams and testing everything and putting everything up, I do much better when there's a microphone in front of me. That's just sort of like been my last 20 years. So I feel more comfortable. Maybe not comfortable. That's not the right word. But I feel more focused or more, I could do it.
Yeah.
You know, if the stream, even like today I was playing Marvel Snap online and there was nobody there. I mean, you were maybe there. And so I'm still like talking, doing the same things I'm thinking in my head. But if the microphone is here and I know I'm on, I'm saying the things that are just in my head. It's easier for me to do it.
Yeah.
And it's more natural. So I think I could sit there and just go, oh, what does that even mean? I don't know if I should do this or what, where can I find this or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's not just, you're not just watching a guy blink.
Yeah. See, for me, for me and I think for Eric, it would just be watching people blink. But I can see that with you because you talk things out a lot.
Yeah. I talk to myself. Absolutely.
And I don't because again, I can do it all myself. So right. I just keep it all here. And then it goes on
woman,
paper.
Okay. Strong woman. And you strong woman. Yeah, that's it. That's what's going on in our lives right now.
I thought that was the show. I was like, that was easy.
Yeah.
Great.
Sweet. Well, thanks for joining us. No, I actually had a hard time. Oh, I guess that's what I was saying is starting the show late because the audio was all wonky. And because I was on the streaming PC and the audio cables, there's like virtual cables. It's all kind of screwy. So I'm like, you know what? Let's go back to the old computer for this. And see if I can't keep them separate or whatever. I'm trying to figure out a whole bunch of stuff, but, you know, what are you going to do? But we have a lot of time to get some news together. And I'm excited about it because we have a lot to talk about. But first, Eric.
Yeah. First.
What are you eating, buddy?
Oh, what am I not eating?
I mean, look, I didn't want to say it, but.
Well, there was a lot on the menu. I only went there three times on the trip, so I didn't eat everything.
Three times? Okay. How long was your trip?
Was it 4 nights or 5 nights?
You went to Ralph Brennan's three times in 5 nights.
Bro, wow. My wife have gone to Ralph Brennan's. There was one trip where we went to Ralph Brennan's at least once every single day.
Good gravy. We didn't even do that. And we were getting free apps.
Yeah. Like,
so our buddy
was hooking
us up.
I wanted to try the new menu. I wanted That's to see awesome. It. It's one of our favorite places.
That's good.
Can I just say one thing really quick before you start?
No.
I think it's kind of amazing.
I said no.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway. I can do anything.
You're a strong woman.
I'm a strong woman.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that Eric is sent like literally replaced Bev and Terrence. He's like both of them combined.
Oh, no, what does that mean?
Because you're like history of Disneyland and like Nine Old Men, like you know all that stuff, but then you also are food guy.
Food guy.
Just like Bev.
You're okay, food guy just like Bev.
Because Bev was like our resident foodie. I mean, not that she liked good food, but she liked food.
Yeah, Bev just lacked the analytical viewpoint.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Or that was
I'd eat all of it.
Yeah.
So I thinking about this segment and like the histories that you do, I'm like, wow, you really replaced both of them very nicely.
There we go. Well, 2-1. Yeah.
I like that. I really did like some of Bev's best stuff were the budget trips. Mm.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad because I wasn't sure how those would come episodes. Over.
Okay. Oh, and I've recommended them to a lot of people. Like, you want to kind of introduce yourself to the show. Listen to this. It's informative and it was fun.
Wow. Okay. I would never have thought that. I have such a weird, that's why I can't do my own social media or like do my own like clips, really editing or whatever. That's why I pay for an AI site service to like cut them up. Cause like and even then it's the terrible, but like I can't, I have a very tough time putting a value on my work. It's weird. Like I would never go, oh yeah. Like if someone goes, hey, what shows should I listen to like get started? I don't know. I have no idea, dude. Just like search your favorite ride and we've probably done a history of like my therapist was like, oh, I should really probably like listen to your like a show or two of yours to see what it is that you do. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll send you some.
And then you did.
And then I texted her. I was like, what's your favorite ride? Because I was like, no idea what's going on. And then, of course, she sent me five different things. Like, you can't have five favorite. It's favorite. Not what are your favorites, plural. What's your favorite, singular? So we have a reading comprehension problem. Mm-hmm.
This is the guy who refuses to play, like, Would You Rather?
Oh, yeah, I hate that game.
Absolutely.
Would you rather have $1 million or eat 12 badgers? Like, come on. It's obviously the Badgers.
Badgerific.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Eric.
It used to be easier to do that because that was when I was listening to the show instead of being on every episode.
Ah.
So I think that was part of it. But at least on Supreme Resort, like we've got episodes where I say, hey, if you want to get really angry, I recommend The Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
And then there's some early episodes where Dan, Jimmy, and I really start to click once I get onto the show where I feel like, yeah, we really knew what we were doing. Like Kelly River Rapids versus Grizzly River Run. I still think of that episode because it was so much fun.
Nice.
Putting that together.
You know, we have so many episodes across all the shows. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's worth putting together like just one core episode. Maybe we push it on all the feeds. Who knows? That might be too much. But get everybody to give us their ultimate shows.
Yeah,
or
like
whatever.
The best of.
Yeah, or like Supreme Resort, you guys are getting, how do you get people into your show? You know, what shows would you recommend listening to? Bantha Milk, what shows, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm. And then so that way it's like, here's just a primer for the Ears Up Network. Here's all the shows. So then you can, if someone wants to listen to the network, they go, okay, then they go to this show. Then you can give them one show instead of all the other ones. I don't know how interesting
that is. That's a great idea. Because, like, I mean, we've been on since 2013. 13 or 14.
No, late 13, yeah.
That's wild. And I would not recommend anyone go back to that first episode. But
oh my God, it's terrible. I mean, it's the thing. They're all terrible.
Everybody's first episode is always terrible.
It is. Absolutely.
But yeah, where would you begin? I like that idea.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll figure it out. I'm looking right all now right. to see how many episodes we have. Bus. I need to click on what things are buses now. Captions are weird, dude. I don't like them. I feel like they're old school. You know what I mean? Okay, so we have podcasts. Does it tell me how many? Okay. What is 131 plus 348 plus 33 plus 42 plus 119?
I wasn't writing any of that down.
Yeah, I need you to say those numbers again. 131.
348. 633. And those are just the episodes on the feeds. Now, that's not even all the secret shows.
That's a lot. That's a lot of content. That's a lot of hours of us talking.
The secret shows probably have 3/4. So it's probably 150 secret shows. And then you have all the other nonsense we
definitely
do.
Definitely pushing 800.
That's wild to me. All right.
Yeah,
anyway.
We've got about 50. Well, yeah. Anyway.
Enough about me. Eric, what about you? How was Ralph Brennan's? So you went after me? the heinousness, right?
The really cool redo.
Yeah.
I won't say really cool redo, but I'm not going to channel Jeremy here on this one. Right.
I just don't Barbara Boozer. Whatever.
But first off, we have to stop calling it Ralph Brennan's because it is now the Jazz Kitchen Coastal Grill and Patio.
No, it's not.
Really?
It is. Which I learned today.
There's no Ralph Brennan. At least I relearned
today. Ralph Brennan is not in the title. Now, interestingly enough, Ralph Brennan still exists. Wow. Let me tell you about Ralph Brennan.
I'd love to hear it.
The real story of Ralph Brennan, of course, he is what you would expect. He is a very wealthy white man named Ralph Brennan, who owns a bunch of restaurants in New Orleans and one in Anaheim. He's a third generation restaurateur, but he was the first to go to school and learn about business. So the first and second generation said, first generation said, we like running this old restaurant called Brennan's on Royal Street. And then the second generation said, we want restaurants too. And so they started branching off and doing their own restaurants. And that's when the fussing and the feuding started.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
And Ralph, being a third generation guy, got back from school and said, I'm going to be a CPA. and went off and worked on Wall Street for a while. But he grew up working in Brennan's as a kid who grew up in a family restaurant sort of environment. And he wanted to get back into the family business. So years and years and years later, lawsuits and all sorts of things going on, people suing over the name to use the word Brennan's. The original Brennan's restaurant closes in 2013. Ralph gets together with some investors and buys the property. Then he successfully sued to get the rights to the name Brennan's. A year later, a brand new restaurant opens up in the same place. And he kind of corrals all of the other people involved and starts getting their restaurants going and picking up the business and combining things. And now he is in charge of 7 restaurants, 6 of which are in New Orleans. And the 7th is Jazz Kitchen Coastal Grill and Patio.
Coastal Grill.
So he is still in charge of it, even though it doesn't have the name?
He's still in charge of the company. His company still owns Jazz Kitchen. He's the president of the company.
Okay.
It seems like a pretty good company to work for. If you like look for Ralph Brennan's controversies, all you find is the junk from the 70s, all of his aunts and uncles.
Ralph Brennan's controversies.
I like that. I love your research style. Like that's what you looked up. I've never thought to do that. I think that's an amazing Google.
I'm curious. Is he a jerk or is he a good guy to work for? Seems like he's a good guy.
All right.
There's a lot of people that have worked at. I mean, I haven't been to any of his restaurants in New Orleans, and I've only been going to Ralph Brennan's in. It's been like 10-ish years that I've been going to Disneyland, but. I've seen the same employees there the entire time. They all have badges similar to Disney badges that tell you how long they've been working there. Whenever they hit a 5-year anniversary, they get a bonus check for the year. They have big celebrations for employees. They went out for some big. They were supposed to win a James Beard. They were up for a James Beard Award a few years ago. He flew a ton of employees out to the ceremony. They lost, and they still partied for 2 days afterward.
Nice.
Yeah, they're from New Orleans. I mean, and they're chefs. Like, yeah, of course.
It's also the restaurant industry. Yeah. That's what they do.
Right.
Yeah.
So it seems like a good place to work.
Our friend, I don't know what I should say, but he worked at Ralph Brennan's and he was miserable. But it was like a staffing issue.
Okay.
He just like refused to hire more people. So kitchen staff was just slammed like 14-hour, 16-hour days. Just in it. Just
oh, gosh. In it.
Yeah. And, you know.
Well, and that's the thing. So what struck me the most about what you said was the people's tenure of being there. Like,
yeah,
the amount of time people stay at a company says, I think, more than anything. You know, like my company is kind of the same way. People stay there for a really long time. Do we get paid the most? Could I go get more money somewhere else? Absolutely. And should I? Probably. Yes. But I don't, and I haven't, and I don't have that drive because I actually like the company. And so, like, it does say a lot when, like, when you see those badges and you see that they've been there for 13 years or since opening, and you're like, wow, because people don't do that.
And they shouldn't.
Well, they shouldn't. But they do. And some people like to be comfortable.
Yeah. I think restaurant business is different. You know?
Yeah, it is.
But anyway, sorry, Eric. Go ahead, please.
Oh, no. That's great to hear. I mean, it's great to hear they're understaffed in the kitchen.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Everything's great in front of house. Back of house, they're miserable.
Yeah, I know that's the way things go sometimes in kitchens. Just, and it's rough, kidding. But yeah, so gone are the dank woods with colorful beads, paintings, and a bedazzled grand piano following the big renovation. It's still a great place to eat. It's very different, and you have to prepare yourself to go blind when you walk by it.
Excuse me, I'm choking on my own saliva.
Oh, okay.
That's what I imagine. It's like your favorite dive bar gets a renovation. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that. Saying that you have to prepare yourself is a very good way of explaining it.
Yeah.
Because you want to go back. It's like an old friend. Everything is sort of worn in, you know, and you've been there a bunch of times and you know where everything is and you know what to expect around the corner. And it's like you can choose what kind of looks you want to get. But now it's just weird.
Yeah. And maybe these large corporations that operate multiple restaurants in multiple places have a decent idea about what the average consumer wants instead of a dank bar with, you know, a bunch of 90s crazy crap on the walls. And
I don't know. They weren't having a hard time filling seats.
No, I mean, you could usually get there around lunchtime and not have to wait. But dinner time was usually packed.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is part of the entire update of Disney, Downtown Disney. I wonder how much of it was Disney coming around and saying, all right, anybody with a logo that looks vaguely 90s, you're out. Catal, get out now. Ralph's, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, we're going to need a lot of work here.
So you know? I had only seen the drawings of what they were going to do, right? Okay. Yeah. So just the outside and the new logo or whatever, and I hated it and whatever. So I just Googled it so I could get an image of what I should be prepared for. And oh my God, what is this? What are these orange chairs?
Yeah, it's
and,
bad.
Like,
isn't
what? What even is this style? Like,
and people think we're, you know, Jeremy and I were being pedantic is the word. I don't know. Pandemic? I have no idea. But it, by saying it looks like the lobby of a Four Seasons, but it really does.
It actually, like, it looks like a Starbucks or something.
Because of those weird, like, you have the splashes of this weird burnt orange, you know, and like, there's a lot of creams. And it's like, why is
it? And an umbrella inside, which is odd.
I guess thinking,
well, that's their thing. Little court area.
Oh, okay.
They removed the fountain.
So that's like right in the front. Oh, wow.
Removed the fountain.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's so, I'm sorry, but it is awful.
We are taking all the charm out of it and we are sterilizing it as much as possible. And I, for the life of me, can't figure out why. I mean, the fountain, what did the fountain ever do? What does this company have against fountains? I mean, look what they did in Epcot.
Maybe it's a liability thing.
What's the liability of a fountain?
A child falls in and drowns.
No, stop it. That kid.
Well, I like it. It's fresh and clean.
No, you don't.
And I can't wait to see what else they're
doing. Do you really? Like, let's be honest. Do you like it?
Am I being contrary for the sake of it?
I don't know.
I don't mind it. It really, I was very shocked when I first walked by. That's kind of why I'm like, I got to try this place out a few times. Okay. I got to spend some time in there.
Okay. Right.
Well,
okay.
Let's go. We've all already right. talked about I'm how sorry. Boring it is.
Well, yeah. So let's see. After much hand wringing and complaining online, the restaurant closed on January 9th, 2023, despite everyone's opinion. The logo with the giant saxophone and the very 90s fonts was removed in April. A new sign appeared in May. That's the kind of coolish font that, you know, we'll see how it ages in a few years. Same with the colors.
Uh-huh. Sure, man.
How will they fade? While it was under construction, the restaurant opened back up. And I visited during one of those times. And it was weird because they had just started on the stuff downstairs. You could go upstairs, but they didn't have any decorations up. It was just white.
Wow.
That's weird.
And they had kind of like, well, how about we put a painting on that wall over there? It's a sepia-toned picture of a parade.
Yay.
And I'm like, that, whoa, this is weird. But the food was good. We, you know, it was just it was like a quarter of the dining room upstairs. It was nothing. It was just kind of like, hey, we could start putting people here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And for whatever day of the week it was that we were there, it was full. So that was something. But it definitely got better over time when they expanded the menu once they fully reopened. They got rid of the dank. They got rid of all that dank.
Damn.
The new space is very bright and airy, depending on where you're sitting. It's either an assault on the senses or pleasant.
Okay.
New seats and tables throughout. Yes, downstairs. The area that's so bright and pink and orange mirrors the mural that's on one side of the building when you're coming from the Lego store. That side of the building has a mural that has the same kind of design.
Okay.
But the logo, the mural that you're seeing on the inside and all the orange tables, I think are designed to blend into the Beignets place, which is now called Beignets Expressed.
Expressed?
As in past tense?
The first thing I think about is breast milk.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
That's a weird word.
Expressing anal glands on an animal.
Like, that is not a good word to use.
That's what I think of.
Okay.
Like, your cat. Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to find things wrong with this. I think there are things wrong
with
this.
Yes, I agree. You don't have to look very hard. They exist.
My job is to make you actually try to go inside. The Beignets place is still super popular, but I think they kind of use that area as a little bit more of an overflow for seating from there.
Okay.
They never really had too much, and it matches the tone of the other side of the building. If you're in the main dining room or if you're on the front patio downstairs, there's a mural that's kind of pastel, kind of 90s palm fronds and things, which is a little weird, but the art around the room just keeps it bright. It's not, the ceiling doesn't feel low because there's no like foot tall stage with a giant piano on it. They still do live music there.
That's good.
All throughout the week, they've got a rotating
kind of music group. Like, did they change that too?
I think they're calling it jazz these days.
Oh, nice. Yes, with a soft J. All right. I got it. That's cool.
At the back of the main dining room downstairs, the original wood bar is still there.
Okay.
They changed the countertop to a white granite.
Of course.
Instead of...
Of course they did. They had to.
It's a you
have to complain about everything.
Yes,
the bar is still there.
It is a hotel lobby at that point. That's why I moaned like that, because it's just a hotel lobby. It is nothing special. There's nothing special in this place anymore except the food. But you know what? In 5 years, we're all going to forget about this. Us old heads who have been there.
And it's just what it is.
And it's just probably what it is. Right.
Well, yeah. So let's finish up with the upstairs. Upstairs, they've got a kind of a sunset painted on the wall, different gradients of oranges and pinks kind of, you know, descending downward.
That sounds beautiful.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
The tables have all been updated up there. The art isn't too much better, but the whole place does feel brighter everywhere. The railings, instead of being completely wrought iron, the railing itself is wrought iron with glass underneath. You know, they have kind of the pegs and it's just glass panels.
Okay.
Probably plexi so your child doesn't smash through it. I don't know. But it feels, what they're going for is a brighter look, they got it. I don't know what that style is. They're saying it's a mix of modern Gulf and Pacific Coast. I don't know if that's a style. That's what they're saying. Doesn't feel...
Gulf and Pacific Coast.
Yeah.
Because
Gulf
different
Coast,
coasts.
LA, Pacific Coast.
Well, it's a mix between those two coasts.
Yeah.
I guess.
And the Pacific Coast is famously very small and has a very distinct style in only one spot. That is not true, I believe, but I'm not from California, so.
And you know what? We are, and I don't know.
I'm going to interrupt you again because.
Please do.
I just had a theory about like, why would they do this? Why would they take this really cool looking restaurant and make it a hotel restaurant? And I wonder if it's because Kitschy doesn't feel like it should be as expensive. So maybe their food prices were too high for the Kitschy atmosphere. So then you have to actually So for like tourists, let's say, since that's everybody coming, essentially, you quote unquote elevate, right, the design to be something more familiar to people so that they feel like now this is actually a very expensive restaurant that we're going to. So the pricing matches your expectation.
Yeah, they have been increasing the pricing when we were going. I could see that. I could also see it being like they want more of a separation between the parks, especially with Disneyland Forward going, where, you know, the outside of Ralph's is a little gaudy, but it's a little celebratory, and maybe they don't want that.
A
maybe
too
they want
Disney.
A transition. Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, there's a funny chef who's throwing smiling animals into a pot, and you're going to eat them.
Yeah. Right.
Whether you like it or not, brother.
Right. You know, that's all that stuff has changed. It is a more up-to-date look. I would imagine everything else in that area is going to look very similar.
Yeah.
The next few years. And they're not going for New Orleans Jazz Club anymore.
Right.
They're going for, let's California. Scroll back up, Coastal Grill and Patio.
Which isn't a thing, by the way. Coastal Grill. And it just doesn't. First of all, when I think of the coast, I don't think of Anaheim. You know why? It's not on the coast.
It's not on the coast.
Yeah, it's not a beach town. So there's that in and of itself. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to spend any more time on the outside. Let's talk about the food.
Yes.
Okay.
For the love of God.
That's good, because I'm out of things to say about the outside.
Good. I'm
good
not.
Timing.
I'm
good
not,
timing.
But you know, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, drinks. It's a New Orleans drink menu. They've got your Sazeracs, your old fashions. They have brought in some more, quote, modern mixology sort of drinks, things with mezcal, different fruit blends in there.
Okay.
And you can still get a big old pour of, 20-ounce pour of a beta amber.
There you go.
A beta, not a beta. A beta amber.
You say a beta, I say a beta.
So, nothing wrong there.
Yeah, beta okay, that's turbo good. Dog.
Turbo is, dog.
That's oh. the best. Brown ale.
That's my Disneyland
that's what you
beer.
Go for.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget the Amber Ale. I mean, actually, the Amber Ale is probably fine, but Turbo Dog. Turbo okay. Dog. Love it.
Well, you're going to love the name of the menu. It's LA to CA Signature Dishes.
I took my headphones off. I'm not listening to you. I can't do it. LA to CA. What is that? Canada? Is it Canada? You can't LA to California. What does that even mean? It doesn't mean anything. These are things that don't mean anything. Stop making up things just to put words there. It's not a friggin' placeholder. This should mean something. And you can't say LA to California and have that mean anything to anybody, because it doesn't. Because it just doesn't.
So it means like Louisiana to California?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He missed that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because LA, because no one says, come on.
Well, it's true.
All true. Right.
My fault.
It should have been NOLA to California or something.
Cola.
New Orleans.
Yes.
I mean, there you go. Or Louisiana to California. This is the thing. I'm telling you, this is the thing. Locals, anybody from California will make the same mistake I just did.
Well, yeah.
Because that's what we know. Because
we see LA and we think LA.
Correct.
Yeah.
Also, that's the nearest largest city to friggin'. This is the thing, man. Pass this by me. Let me poke holes in these. This is what I do. Continue, please.
All right.
Remember, I was texting Eric earlier. I was like, hey, how long is this segment? He goes, I don't know, short. And I go, well, like 10 minutes? And he's like, yeah, maybe.
No.
It's been 38 minutes.
Depends on how many interruptions.
There's a lot of opinions.
I should have thought more about the opinions.
It is not
That's
your
what
fault.
We got
Stop
here.
It. You didn't do anything wrong. Stop it. Stop it. Continue.
I wasn't taking the blame. I'm
okay,
blaming
good.
You.
All right.
The appetizers were fantastic. So the LA to C8, there's not a lot of California on here. It's still mostly Louisiana stuff.
Good.
Fried crawfish lettuce wraps were great. The calamari has always been good. I didn't try it. It's the same as always. Gumbo yaya.
I'm not even going to say it.
The gumbo yaya, they used to have that. So
that was there. It's still good.
Good.
Now I'm going to anger precisely one person.
Okay.
His name is RGH. By saying Gulf Coast poutine fries. It's fries. It's cheese curds. It's gumbo.
I'm all in. I am all in.
It was fantastic. That was the entire meal.
It sounds amazing.
So it's not gravy. It's gumbo. Yeah, that's not.
It's gumbo instead of gravy.
No. That's not poutine.
It's Gulf Coast poutine.
That's not poutine, though.
But it's Gulf Coast poutine.
The Gulf Coast does not replace gravy with gumbo.
They obviously do.
No. Californians obviously do.
Mm. Well, some intelligent person figured it out.
They cracked the code.
They
didn't know what to name it.
Some alchemist was like, I can transform this gravy into gumbo and the world will never know.
Yes.
Alchemist voice.
As Joey Tribbiani would say, French fries, good. White cheddar cheese curds, good. Gumbo, good. You put it all together, of course it's going to be good. I love this. I want it right now.
Those will be appetizers.
I don't know. Sleep is good. Driving is also good. Those things don't go together.
Mm. Someday they will.
And maybe. All right, good. Sorry. Sounds fine. Look, whatever. You order it, I would eat it, but I would know that this is not the thing. That's my mental disease.
Okay.
I could never enjoy it because it's not what it says on the menu. It's not poutine.
Go ahead. Ryan. Cheese gumbo fries doesn't have a ring to it. Moving on. There are two types of jambalaya. That sounds great. That always works out well at a New Orleans themed restaurant. Shrimp and grits, sea bass, lobster roll. The California stuff, a Cobb salad.
Boring.
Fancy mac and cheese.
No.
We could do a whole friggin' episode, I swear to God. Because what burger. Is Californian about mac and cheese? Fancy mac and cheese.
Yeah, mac and cheese.
What is
that? We don't have fancy mac and cheese in other states.
Sure you do. Everybody does. It's just mac and cheese.
I don't know.
Can't be that fancy.
I bet it was invented by Governor California himself.
Oh, that guy is such a jerk.
Dessert, beignets, like of course, him. Multiple kinds. Order the double chocolate bread pudding ahead of time and get it a la mode. It takes 25 minutes to bake.
That's always been the case, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's on the menu if you're interested in it. They will almost always bring it up while they're taking your order. Kids, you can get regular stuff or a filet mignon.
Oh.
Okay.
A little filet mignon.
A little tiny filet mignon. And that is Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen, Coastal Grill and Piano and Gumbo and
Place.
Poutine.
Thing. That's... And you can stay upstairs in the third story.
I was looking at this menu. I don't know if you had this. I'm curious to know if you did. But the grilled open-faced lobster BLT po' boy.
Oh, I didn't put that one on the list because it was too many words.
Oh,
I did not.
That sounds amazing.
It was big for an appetizer. That's a very big sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a big lobster person. Like I kind of wish that was crab, not lobster. But like
lobster
BLT is my favorite sandwich. Po' boy, yes. Open face, fine with me. Lobster, sure. I don't know. I would get that. That's what I'm getting at.
Here's what I understand. A lot of things of what you said.
Uh-huh.
See, this is my problem, okay? Uh-huh. This is people wonder why I am the way I am. Open face is not a sandwich.
Agreed.
It's a bread plate.
But that's okay with me.
That's fine.
That's the best part of a sandwich.
But I'm just saying, it's fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Lobster doesn't taste like anything. It's a butter delivery device that's overly expensive. That used to be poor people food. It used to be so abundant that it was not expensive. It was not considered like a lobster dinner. It's like the height of the thing. It was not that way, but somehow it just was marketed that way. And now that it is,
okay.
It doesn't taste like anything. Lobster is inherently not good. The texture's off. It's weird. It's like eating cooked gum.
But you don't like crab it. Either. And
no,
crab is delicious.
But crab has flavor. Lobster does not. Lobster is flavored by the butter and the garlic. And then you might as well just eat butter and garlic and
which
live
is
your best
also
life.
Fine with me. Yeah, see, okay. For me...
Sorry, I had to say it.
For me, I want to eat butter and garlic. I want to eat those things. But you have to have a delivery device because it's... delivery device because it's inappropriate to eat just butter and garlic.
I don't know, whatever. Anyway, Eric, that's it?
That's it.
Did we? I feel like we just pooped all over your parade.
I did not. Sounded great.
I did, yeah.
Go there. It's good.
No, this is the thing about Ralph Brennan's, or excuse me, the Coastal Brennan's, is the food was always great. I mean, yeah. And I don't say that about many restaurants I go to because it's frequently not the case. Like I will, if you don't know me by now, I will definitely tell you factually if a thing is good or not. Ralph Brennan's food has always been great. The price sort of started to get out of hand there for a little bit, but it was still really, really good. So I expected nothing different from that at all. So kudos to them. It sounds like it's still a good place to go to. If you don't have a brain disease like me, you'll be fine and comfortable there. But I think I would be on edge and itchy every time I would go in. Because it's different.
Like me after my haircut.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're doing some news. So hang on, everybody. It's ears up. I'm going to go calm down. We'll be right back.
Back to Ears Up, where the opinions never stop. Ever.
All right, welcome back, everybody. All right, I think it is time for a little bit of this.
March in the past, present, and future with all the news that's fit to cover. It's the Ears Up Disney News.
I'm just read Ryan's last comment in the chat, and I don't. It makes me uncomfortable. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay,
we got a fair amount of news to cover, and it's a lot of opinion stuff. Which you know me, I love it. That's my time to shine. Anyway, Disneyland closes 4 attractions during its busy spring season, which I feel like is just now.
Pretty much.
Disneyland will close 4 attractions for seasonal refurbishments during the Season of the Force and Pixar Fest events just as the spring break crowds begin to dwindle at the Anaheim theme parks. The Incredicoaster, Matterhorn Bobsleds, Winnie the Pooh, and Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln will temporarily close in mid-April or early May as part of Disneyland's standard refurbishment schedule. The 4 new attraction closures join the Haunted Mansion, Splash Mountain, Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, and Fantasmic that were already closed. The timing of the attraction closures coincide with the 2-month-long Star Wars event that started Friday, April 5th at Disney, and Pixar Fest that kicks off April 26th at Disney California Adventure. So it's not too long. The Incredicoaster is going to be down April 8th, which is a couple days ago, through the 18th. And that's just for seasonal refurbishment.
10 days, that's not bad.
No. The Matterhorn bobsleds will close 3 times on slower weekdays. I don't know, understand what this means. April 15th through the 18th, then it'll open. Then it'll close again on the 22nd through 25th, and then close again, or open again, and then close April 29th through May 2nd. So it sounds like just normal refurb, but they can space it out.
And what I hear is go on those days. Because they think that's going to be less people.
Yeah, probably. Winnie the Pooh will close on May 1st. And there's no reopening date because that's part of Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
But like...
opening, so...
But they're not getting rid of it or anything, Winnie the Pooh.
No. They're just closing it because they're doing all those changes to the shops and stuff.
So they're just shutting down the whole...
Yeah, and then also the line for Tiana's Bayou Adventure is like, past there, basically. Okay. So I think they have to.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And then Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln will close on April 16th with no reopening date set.
Well, I wonder if they're doing something with
that. At least through May 20th. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still think that Hall of Presidents and Disney World is going. And I wonder if they're doing something like that with Mr. Lincoln. But to be honest with you, man, that Mr. Lincoln ride can just go, or that attraction can go.
It can. And
it's so boring. Nobody cares. Nobody cares anymore.
That ride has a significant place in my life because I was terrified of it for a very long time. I think I had a bad dream one time about that ride, and I didn't know if it was a dream or not, and so I've just always been really scared of that ride, that attraction.
Coward.
And then I did it as an adult, and I was like, oh, this is just like where you go to take a nap in the nice cold air.
It's so cold. It's so
for
good.
15 minutes.
It is pretty good.
And like, I really want to, I don't want it to go away because I feel like it's one of the only things that's still there. But also like, I don't know, who's going to watch it? Who's interested in that? And is it relevant or is it controversial? Is it, I mean, what do you do with that area then?
I tell you, I have never seen that place even remotely half full.
No.
No. Ever. Oh, goodness.
There's
no.
always been maybe one other couple in there.
But it's that like venerable staple. Like you, I, dude, the fandom would have a heart attack, a collective heart attack.
Uh-huh.
The rapture would come.
But that's why.
For half of them, because if you try to get rid of that. But also a lot of those same people are calling for Autopia just to be pulled entirely. So who knows anymore at this point? Like I sort of feel for the higher, the upper echelons of Disney management. Because it's like, what
win.
Do you do? No, you can't win.
They cannot win.
Lincoln, that place is so well themed and so well designed and everything looks nice with the velvet curtains and mm-hmm. the heavy.
What, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. But you're right. What do you do there? I think you maybe make it a stage show.
Make it Walt. Instead of Abraham Lincoln, make it Walt.
I mean, enough time has passed. He has sort of like gone, you know, an animatronic of Walt. That
would be animatronic of Walt would be kind of amazing.
You know what they need to do? Hologram.
Oh my God.
Hologram of Walt.
We're dusting that's off not, that's that a one little from too the summer. Like
Captain EO.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've tried to do this before. They did replace it. Didn't they replace it for a while with the Steve Martin movie about Main Street?
That's just the inside.
That an intro?
That's like the thing that you watch while you're waiting.
Okay. And then you still go in and an old man stands up and then sits back down.
4 score and 7 years ago.
Brandy was not expecting him to stand up. So when he stood up, she grabbed my arm and went,
he's coming for me.
I'm like, wow, the magic's still there.
Sure is. Yeah, yeah. I'm
throw not, pennies
my
at him.
Animal magnetism. Is that the kind of magic you're talking about?
Yes, that was the one.
This one is interesting. Eric sent this to me. He goes, I don't know if anybody cares or whatever he said. I don't know. But
is this news?
Yeah. Disneyland diners hungry for the legendary Shanghai-style soup dumplings won't have to wait much longer for Din Tai Fung to open at Downtown Disney. The Michelin-awarded restaurant from Taiwan will open this summer. First of all, Taiwan. Oh, I guess Taiwan is controlled by China because I'm trying to be like Shanghai. Why is a Taiwanese company doing Chinese anymore? We'll open this summer at the outdoor shopping mall next door to Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. The new time frame means the restaurant should open between mid June and mid September. The internationally acclaimed Zhao Long Bao soup dumplings chain is among a host of new restaurants and shops replacing the former AMC Theaters, Starbucks West, Earl of Sandwich, and Sugar Boo and Company that were demolished in 2023. The new Downtown Disney outpost for Din Tai Fung expands on the family-run chain's growing portfolio that includes locations. I don't care. Who cares? They're all over the place. The Orange County Register named Din Tai Fung to its annual list of the 75 best places to eat in Orange County. And called the chain's famous Zhao Long Bao soup dumplings that have spawned countless imitators still the ones to beat. Now, I've said this before, and I will say it again because it bears repeating. Dumpling houses are becoming the next pho places.
Oh, absolutely.
Dumplings in general are fantastic, and they're having their day in the sun, but it's because of these friggin' soup dumplings. If you've never had a soup dumpling, Eric, have you had a soup dumpling?
Yes.
You've taken a soup dumpling. They're great, right?
Yeah.
And I learned how to make them.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't make them, but it's like they take like congealed soup. They cool it down and then they put it in the dumpling. So then that's how they get the soup in there, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
I like it better than pho.
I like it better than pho.
I like
pho
it better too.
The problem is expensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
And dumplings, dumplings, you know, it's like Mexican food.
I know.
It's like tacos. It's street food. It should be not that expensive. Yeah. We don't need to class up everything just to charge more money for it. You don't need to be doing
that. I counter that with there is no such thing as street food anymore. Everything is classed up.
In America, but you go to these other countries, they're absolutely.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's where they're from.
So, but we're in America, so. I will say I have...
Trust me, I noticed. Just ask everyone in Arizona. They know too.
I will. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I want to go to a restaurant if Michelin is involved. And it 100%.
The tire company?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like the Michelin stars. You said it was a Michelin rated restaurant. And I'm like, I'm in. I don't even care what the cuisine is. Like, I'm in.
I don't know if I've ever been to a Michelin star restaurant. And I wonder what, this is my problem. Why am I opening up on this show all the time? This is my problem. Is that
I
don't think it matters. I would love that. I would love to go to one of these because I would love to see what the difference is. What elevates it from just like really good from 5 stars on Yelp to a Michelin star? Where is that leap? Is it presentation? Because I friggin' hate the upscale presentation stuff where like here's a swipe of sauce and then a little dollop of foam and then a thing. I hate it. It could taste great, but I just don't. Because you're charging me for this.
Yeah.
You're charging me more because you swipe the dollop. Don't swipe the dollop.
But there's an art to that.
Who cares?
Because I don't care about that. I don't like the tiny dishes. Like that bothers me because I want to eat food. Like I like a lot of food. So
that's my problem too.
Yeah.
You want a chicken tender and a cup of sauce.
Yes. I want a cup. I don't want to swipe.
I'd be all right with that.
I agree with that. But okay. I like want the cup on the side because I do like the swipe. Like I really like food presented in a certain way. Like to me, it's very visual and I'm like, oh, that is so pretty. Like I want to almost not even want to break it, you know, to eat it.
To break the food.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I want to take a picture of the food before I want to eat the food.
Yeah.
That means it's really good food.
Okay.
Because generally, like, I want to just stuff my face. But if I want to even stop and take a picture, then I'm like, oh, this is going to be great.
Sobbing gently.
Yes. Unless it's not, though. You know what I mean? You don't know.
You don't know, but.
I don't know, whatever.
I don't know. Michelin, it gets me all excited. I'm like, oh.
You know what gets me excited?
Summer is just around the corner, and our friends at the 21st Amendment Brewery are welcoming the warmer weather with open arms and a refreshing favorite, Hell or High Watermelon Wheat. Picture this, a sunny day, the smell of barbecue in the air, and a cold, crisp Hell or High Watermelon in your hand. It's the ultimate summertime companion, perfect for those unforgettable gatherings with friends and family. But what makes Hell or High Watermelon so special? It's not just its bright straw color or tight white bubbles. No, it's the subtle blend of wheat beer with the hint of sweet biscuit and a kiss of juicy watermelon that sets it apart from the rest. With its refreshing flavor and delightful light fruit notes, Hell or High Watermelon is bound to become your go-to summer beer. And at just 4.9% ABV, you can enjoy it all day long without missing a beat. So when you're looking for that perfect beverage to complement those sunny days and backyard barbecues, look no further than Hell or High Watermelon Wheat. Find it wherever great craft beer is sold and make this summer one to remember.
Thank you, me. I appreciate you.
That's such a good commercial.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually. excuse me. I'm the night of choking on one's saliva, apparently. Okay, talking about more changes to Disneyland. This is what I mean. We had a lot to talk about. Autopia is changing from gas cars to electric cars. They're replacing all the gas engines and they're moving to electric cars. And it's something that we've talked about forever. And I'm very excited that they listened to the show because obviously no one else had this idea before we did. No, I really do think it's a great thing. It really moves Tomorrowland forward. It moves Tomorrowland into the present, which is better than into the past. And in some respects, fully electric cars are still in the future because the adoption is very low, even though it's in the news cycle and there's a lot of charging stations and, you know, Tesla's a big thing, whatever. A lot of car companies still don't really know what to do anymore. I think Honda or maybe it's Toyota pulled back and like, oh, we're just going to go hybrids. That's going to be our thing or whatever. Nobody really knows what to do yet. So I think this is a pretty big move and I'm excited about it. You know, I don't know where or when it's going to happen, but even Bob Gurr apparently said today, get rid of those god-awful gasoline fumes.
Yeah.
Get out of here. In news shared exclusively with the Los Angeles Times ahead of this column's publication, after several weeks of prodding the company for answers on the future of Autopia, Disney officials revealed that pure gasoline engines are on their way out. Quote, since opening with Disneyland Park in 1955, Autopia has remained a guest favorite, most popular with young kids experiencing driving for the first time. That is such a weird phrase. Experiencing driving. Young kids experiencing driving for the first time. That is an awkward turn of phrase.
But also, that's probably where I experienced driving for the first time.
I would never say, I'm getting to know somebody. Hey, what was your first time experiencing driving? You would look at me like I'm an alien.
Probably.
Alaskan but polar bear eater.
I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, okay. That spokesperson Jessica Good, who said in an email, as the industry moves towards alternative fuel sources, we have developed a roadmap to electrify this attraction and are evaluating technology that will enable us to... That will enable us to convert from gas engines in the next few years. Good wouldn't confirm whether that means electric vehicles or if hybrids are a possibility. EVs would obviously be better. Okay, well, I don't understand. Developed a roadmap to electrify this attraction. Oh, so they're not saying 100% that it's electric cars. They will electrify the attraction. So it could be a hybrid thing or not.
Okay.
Okay. Not as exciting, but still cool. That's nice. You know, I like it. I like these are the kind of things, right, that don't bother me at all, which is good.
Yeah. Brian in the chat says that it takes up so much real estate, I'd prefer it to go completely. And he brings up a good point because.
But what about all the kids want to experience driving for the first time?
At the fair. So this ride's never going away then, because now they're just. They're
of course not. It never was.
But it should. It takes up so much space.
They could they could potentially reduce it slightly, and that would be okay. It will never go away. We were saying this. Remember when Star Wars Land things got leaked by WWT or whatever whoever there was, and I was like, "There's literally no way that they will kill Autopia," and I stand by that. That was like 10 years ago. No. I stand by it. They will never get rid of this ride.
They won't. And you know, thinking about it, I'm kind of retracting because it does take up a lot of real estate, but it takes up a lot of space in the park that can't actually be used for anything else. They could put a small ride there.
They could put a meet and greet or some weird thing.
But it goes like oops, sorry.
You moved my camera.
I'm sorry.
How dare you? No, I have to move it back.
It goes like next to, it goes like under things and like over by Small World and sits around. So like a lot of like what it's at, where it actually goes isn't usable space anyway. So I guess I will be fine with it staying forever, which it will.
Yeah, the question is, are they going to have the same engine noises? Because that sound of the two little two-stroke engines is sort of part of that experience, right?
Well,
the
auditory experience. If they change the car,
yeah,
then they can change the sound. If they don't change the car, they have to figure out a way to keep the sound in there, which wouldn't be hard, right. But...
I know, right? It's going to be odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of cars have this eerie, like all the Toyotas have this...
Yeah, the like ethereal hum. Tesla has that when the back's up too.
Yeah, Ryan's in the chat lying, saying that he loves it and goes on it every time he goes to the park. I don't believe that.
Yeah,
because
okay.
That sometimes it's like an hour and a half long, and like who's sitting in that line?
No,
I went on it once. It was kind of fun. Yeah,
once.
We didn't wait too long.
It's the traffic simulator. The last time I went on it, I waited longer. And I'm not even exaggerating. I literally waited longer to get out of my car than I did to experience driving in the car. It took longer to get out because there was such a backlog.
Yeah.
No, never. And then you're like, you're breathing in the exhaust.
That's the LA traffic part.
Yeah, breathing in the exhaust, sitting in the sun. No, man, I'm not doing it.
Ryan's favorite ride.
It is not his favorite ride. Stop it. Ryan, if it's your favorite ride, how many tattoos do you have of the cars? None. That's right. Because it's not your favorite ride. You'll listen to Blink 182 or whatever. All right. Speaking of more things coming to the parks, see, told you, there's a lot of stuff going on. This is from the Disney Parks blog, and I hate it. I just, you know, whatever. I hate it. The title is Continuing to Turbocharge Disney Experiences.
Oh, my gosh. From it, but it's from Josh himself.
What does that mean? These are the things, you guys. They don't mean anything. Turbocharge Disney Experiences. What does that mean? Let's find out.
It's a nothing article.
Earlier today, during the Walt Disney Company annual meeting of shareholders, our CEO, Bob Iger, shared some incredible updates from across the company, including an update at Disney Experiences that I'm very excited about. We were thrilled to unveil a piece of inspirational artwork developed for a potential new Avatar experience at the Disneyland Resort. We are excited about the stories our guests could experience at Walt's original theme park destination after approval of Disneyland Forward, including the chance to experience all new Avatar adventures with a visit to Pandora. Avatar is the latest example of how we are looking to create new and innovative ways to bring our powerful stories to life. Over the past decade, we've delivered massive, immersive experiences at our destinations around the world. Josh, let's pull it back, buddy. Okay, this paragraph could be gone because it's not about what you've done already. It's about what's coming to the parks. So let's pull this all out, okay? We don't need to talk about Star Wars Land. We don't need to talk about Pixar. We don't need to talk about Avengers. It's not about. Let's continue. This was evident late last year when we opened World of Frozen. Okay, again, once more. Well, I guess it is about turbocharging experiences. So Whatever. Who cares, dude?
That's a big turbocharge. It's just not in America.
Yeah, right. Disneyland Hotel. I was in Paris last week and met with the teams who just completed the transformation of the Disneyland Hotel. Our expansion is as active on sea as it is on land. And all of this is just the beginning. There are so many stories in our library yet to be explored, like My Daughter, the Foot, and Million Dollar Duck, and Computer Head, Okay, Go. As we turbocharge Disney experiences over the next 10 years, we're investing aggressively and thoughtfully to give you more of what you love. There has never been a more exciting time at Disney Experiences. I'm looking forward to having you on this journey with us. Nobody, and I want to just make it very clear, nobody is asking for an Avatar experience in Disneyland. Nobody is asking
for it. But you know what? As you were reading that, I realized I am. Because it will be something new. Away from the, it's like a third door, right? And maybe.
That's what they call, and that's the industry term is door.
What is it? Third gate.
Third door.
A third gate.
No, door.
Third gate.
Staying with door.
And that is going to suck people out of the parks, and they can go there. I'm not going to go there. I literally couldn't even finish the first one. It was boring.
No, it's not. I'll tell you why. Because with a third door, they're going to increase the capacity. So all this extra space is not going to eat people and take people from the parks. It's going to be the same amount of people in the parks. In fact, the demand for stuff will probably be more because people will go through the third door and then go, this sucks. I want to go get a churro or I want to go.
Do they have a reservation?
Well, I don't know if that's going to be the case, right? But I could see that. I think something needs to give. Either Disney and Ford needs to be the precursor to get rid of reservations, or there needs to be some sort of limitation on I don't know what, but I'm not that positive about it. I think that it's going to be, it's just extra people. You expand the thing, then you can increase the amount of people that just the same amount of people are going to be there.
I am just so, I am uninterested in that at all, in any of it. I don't even need to see it for purposes of the show. Like, I don't care at all.
Well, and here's the thing. It's like, they don't know what it is. So a lot of the news has been saying Avatar Land. It's a whole new land. But they specifically say experience or whatever he says.
They would do better at being frozen land.
They probably will too. But I don't know. I guess they're... It's hard to say, right? Like they already have one in Animal Kingdom and Disney World. By all measures, it's doing really well. People really think it's beautiful. But I don't know. I feel like that's what you're doing is Avatar. Like,
I know.
You could do so much other stuff.
At this point, Encanto.
Yeah. Oh, they probably will too.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's for that too.
That's coming at some point. We don't know when. We don't know where. Everyone is. It's funny. I was on the Disneyland sub, and everyone's like, "Oh my god!" A lot of people were thinking it was going in DCA, so they're like, they're just complaining about like, "Oh, but not the Grizzly Bear Peak, man, or the Hollywood backlot or whatever." It's like, what are you guys talking about? Yeah. It's clearly for Disneyland 4. What's going on? Everyone relax. It's fine.
And Disneyland 4 is like across the street, right?
It's like
that big parking lot thing.
I have no idea. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a map.
Different land.
Yeah, sure.
Are you going to the next article?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say really quick, this past 2 weeks, I've had an odd amount of friends go to Disneyland Japan. And
in Tokyo Disney?
Yep. Yeah. Tokyo Disney. And I just want to go there so badly because one, it is so much cheaper. Like even with like your plane flight going there, I think it like,
why
it's
are you talking about this?
Because I feel like it.
Okay.
Everything that they sell is so cute. And I just want to go there so badly seeing all these Instagram like things. Also, the other thing I wanted to say,
I'm going to cut all this out, by the way.
Great. Do it. I don't care. The other thing I wanted to say is my coworker went to Disneyland this a couple days ago. And she said that she didn't think that the parks felt very busy. She said that she felt like they were doing a good job of the way that they've redone things, that it made it feel like it wasn't super crowded.
Yeah, she came out and she said,
punch it.
No, wait, hold on. She came out and she said,
oh my gosh, I was just in there. The lights were low.
And we were like, whoa, that's crazy, Christina. That's weird.
But I will also say she went with a VIP. Like she, ooh, her family purchased a VIP. So I don't actually take what she said for reality.
Yeah.
But she also saw Bob Iger. So
great.
I thought you were going to say Barker for some reason. I really don't know why.
That would be weird because he's not alive
anymore. He is quite dead, yes.
It was kind of interesting that Bob Iger was at the parks on a Saturday in the middle of the day.
What else is he going to do?
Checking out the flow.
He probably didn't get enough name recognition that week. So he decided to, you know, walk in. He probably had the fake glasses with the fake nose on it and the fake mustache. No, I'm Job Biber.
It's just, doesn't it seem like an interesting choice to go on a like on your busiest day?
I don't know, man.
In the middle of spring break on a Saturday? Like, is that for a reason? Or is that like, are you trying to really do a job and see the parks on its busiest day? Like, I don't know. I want to analyze that choice.
Sounds like you just did.
For me, if I were the president of Disney, I would go on a Tuesday at 5 a.m. Like, check out the park and be like, looks good.
Everyone's here.
See y'all later.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
Whatever. I have valid things to say. Shut up.
You do. Absolutely.
Cut it all out if you want.
I was just waiting for you to be done so I can continue with the segment. Anything else you want to?
Isn't this just a talking show?
Sure, man. You're doing great.
Continue.
All right. Thank you. Speaking of Taryn's work friend's best friend, Disney releases official vote tallies from 2024 shareholders meeting, which shows 9 of its 12 board candidates each received more than 90% shares cast in their favor. This disappoints me greatly. I'm disappointed in all the shareholders of Disney stock, honestly. I really do. I feel like this was our moment. This was our January 6th, right? This was our moment to take control and to send a message shuddering up the spine of those in control, saying we are not going to take it anymore. But instead, a lot like January 6th, we got a vote, we went in, and then we just took pictures and took a dump on the floor. Like, it didn't really do anything. I don't know.
Okay, so we're doing this bit again today?
I guess. I don't know. Who knows, man? Nelson Peltz received 31% of shares that voted for him. I was one of them, which, you know, I digress from that. Anyway, but I think that's a pretty big... People look at this and say Iger won, Iger fended off the takeover, and I guess technically he did, but 31% of a third of the votes? went to Nelson Peltz. Like, that's, I think that's a pretty big wake up call, to be honest with you.
That's because they didn't know that Nelson Peltz is a complete racist.
Well, yes, of course. But I'm just saying, yeah, right. But to go against Bob Iger,
well, yeah,
that's the angle that I'm going for.
Okay, I see.
Not everybody is happy with Iger, no. You know, so not, you know, not for nothing. 9 out of 12 of people got over 90%, you know, shares vote, you know, and voted for him. Iger didn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's, to me, that's the notable thing. And I'm glad they released these numbers. And that's basically, you know, it. According to the vote totals disclosed in an SEC filing on Tuesday, 9 of the 12 Disney-backed director candidates received more than 90% of the shares voted in their favor. The highest totals were received by Disney's two newest directors, which is a Morgan Stanley executive chairman and a former Sky CEO and a former Cisco and Google exec, which is Amy Chang. Which is like, I don't know, I feel like you got Google, Morgan Stanley, these people are not theme park people. I think that's very funny. Who's on the board of different things? Very odd. Disney CEO Bob Iger has previously reported received 94 shares voted in favor of his reelection to the board. Okay, so I got that wrong. So 94% still pretty good. But then how did Nelson Peltz get 31%? I guess there's other people. That's why.
Yeah, it's not them head to head.
Yeah, and that's what it was in my mind, right? So yeah, I digress. So they actually have the number of votes for and against for everybody. It's pretty good, man. Yeah, the lowest person, I think, on the totem pole was Maria Elena Lagomasino. She got 63% of the votes. Mm. Nelson Peltz got 31%. James A. Rizzullo got 12%. Those are the two Tryon nominees. And then Blackwell's nominees each got 2%. But I don't know, man. Still, if I'm on the board and I'm looking at these numbers against. So you got Bob Iger. You still have 72 million people voting against you.
It's a lot.
That's a ton, right? 72,002,225. I'm stupid. That's 72 million, right? It's not 72,000. It's not 720,000.
What were the numbers?
Right.
72,000. It's 72,002,255 or something like that, right? Mm. Anyway, that's a lot of people.
Yes.
It's a lot of people who don't think you're doing the right thing, right?
It's not necessarily a lot of people. It's a lot of shares.
Oh.
Because some of the big wigs, they own many, many, many shares.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I only voted for him, what, 10 times? I don't know how many shares I have at this point.
Yeah.
For Iger, that is, not Peltz.
Is it times? Or is it because, like, I only voted once and I have 5 shares?
Well, yeah, but you generally, I don't know if you can split your vote, but the more shares that you own, that's how much more say you have the future of the company.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know, whatever, who cares? and then let's see, what's our time looking like? We should probably be wrapping it up here soon. Animal Kingdom is expanding. There you go.
Oh,
that was a good one.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a good one. This is our friend Gina Carano.
Oh, no.
Disney argued on Tuesday that it had a First Amendment right to fire Gina Carano, the actor who played a bounty hunter on The Mandalorian, terribly, by the way, after she allegedly trivialized the Holocaust in an Instagram post. Now, this is a good article because I sort of forgot what she did. I sort of forgot that was like a lot of like what happened, that she specifically the Holocaust stuff. Carano sued in February, arguing that the company unlawfully retaliated against her for expressing her personal political views, which were at odds with Disney's preferred ideology. Disney's lawyers filed a motion on Tuesday to throw out the lawsuit, arguing that it has a, quote, constitutional right not to associate its artistic expression with Carano's speech. The case touches on a hot-button controversy over speech rights on social media. Elon Musk announced last August that he would pay the legal bills of employees who had been fired for their posts on his platform. Carano was fired in February 2021 after she analogized the treatment of modern-day conservatives to the persecution of Jews in Nazi Germany. Quote, because history is edited, most people today don't realize that to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews, she wrote. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views? Ooh, that's a...
She's a nightmare.
That's a heavy statement, man. That takes... That's some. There's some heft.
There's some... Some leaping going on.
Yeah. Some... I mean, you know, it, tell me you didn't stay awake in history class, I guess. Carano had faced significant pushback for earlier social media posts in which she strongly objected to COVID restrictions, questioned the legitimacy of the 2020 election, and refused to show support for trans rights. According to her lawsuit, Disney forced her to have a 90-minute Zoom meeting with GLAAD, the LGBTQ rights organization, after she posted that her pronouns are boop, bop, beep.
She is such an awful person.
But like the biggest boomer in the entire universe. Like, come on, dog.
Get over yourself.
But for Disney, the Nazi post was, quote, the final straw, according to the company's motion. The company argued that the post trivialized the Holocaust by referring to thousands of Jews, not millions, and by likening their experience to those of contemporary conservatives who face scorn on social media. Disney had enough, the motion states. The company put out a statement on the same day saying it had no plans to hire her in the future and that her comments were abhorrent and unacceptable. So it's interesting because I thought in my head, it's like they just weren't going to hire her again, but they weren't going to do that. I think because of that. And they're like, we're not doing it at all, ever. I didn't know that she was like fired. I don't know. It seems like less of a, we're just not hiring her back and more of a, she was fired. By the way, Disney is responding to this. To me, my response, if that was the case, my response would be like, she was never hired in the first place. We just chose not to move forward with her character. But there was no contract signed. That's what my response would be.
Well, so it's interesting that you say that because I was watching a documentary. I forget which one. But when a contract is not renewed for an actor, that's considered firing.
Oh.
That's considered being fired.
Okay.
So same with radio. If your contract's not renewed, you were fired. That's like the general terminology. It's
stupid. I don't like it.
Yeah. But that's what it is because you have a contract and then you renew your contract. And if they don't renew it, that's their easy way of firing you without firing you.
Got it. Carano sued under a California law that prohibits employers from retaliating against employees for political activity. Yeah. What she said isn't political activity. There's a difference between a lot of I think in acting and public, you know, service, I guess, or whatever, there's a lot of I'm blanking on the term, but it's a behavior clause where you can't go do something that looks bad on the company. Mm-hmm. And that's all this. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying that she did. We're not going to align with her views.
Yeah.
She's not being censored. She can say whatever she wants.
Yeah. You just can't work here.
Right. In its motion to dismiss, Disney argued that there is a broad exception for companies whose business is to engage in speech, such as newspapers and entertainment companies. To support its argument, the company invoked a law review article and commentary written by one of Carano's attorneys, UCLA law professor Eugene Volokh. Quote, employers that speak must necessarily speak through their employees. And when an employee or prospective employee says things, even off the job, that would undermine the employer's message, the employer must be able to distance itself from the employee, Volokh wrote in 2022. So Disney, this is brilliant. Disney uses the summary written by Carano's lawyer to throw out the case brought upon Disney by Carano's lawyer.
She picked a bad lawyer.
God, it's so good.
For this particular case.
Sounds like Elon Musk picked a bad Disney also cited two Supreme Court cases, blah, blah, blah. Quote, Disney thus was entitled to protect its creative speech in the Star Wars series from association with views Disney and many viewers and potential viewers considered offensive and contrary to Disney's values, the company's lawyers wrote. Carano's presence as a prominent actor on The Mandalorian interfered with Disney's choice not to produce a show associated with her beliefs. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
Good article.
Yeah, that's a lot more in depth than I anticipated.
Me too. Yeah. I hope it gets thrown out. I love that. I would love that. Mainly because, I mean, Corona's nuts. I haven't thought about her forever, but mainly because Musk is backing her. Musk is spending money on him or on her. And I would love this. I just would love this. It'd be so good. And then last but not least, Disneyland is threatening a lifetime ban for those who lie during disability access service registration. So all this service registration stuff is changing at the DAS stuff is changing at the parks. And
all that tells me is that people were really overusing it.
Oh my God, of course they were. Of course they were. They've been doing it forever. Disneyland guests who lie during the registration process for the park's updated disability access service program will be permanently banned. Both parks unveiled changes coming to their DAS programs on Tuesday, which aim to curb the misuse riddled in the widely used program, which results in longer attraction queues and backed up Genie Plus lanes for guests. Officials hope the change, which go into effect on June 18th at Disneyland and May 20th at Disney World, will allow guests who need the service to use it. Under the FAQ section on Disneyland website, officials warn those thinking if they can cheat the new system, quote, if it is determined that any of the statements a guest made in the process of obtaining DAS are not true, the guest will be permanently barred from entering the Walt Disney World Resort and the Disneyland Resort and any previously purchased annual passes, Magic Key passes, tickets, and other park products and services will be forfeited and not refunded. The website did not state how those abusing the system will be caught, but it's likely cast members across the parks will be the first line of defense.
Snitches.
Basically, yeah.
That's rough.
Nobody's going to snitch.
Yeah. Eric, have you heard about the new changes to the DAS?
But no. This was a new one that I saw today as well. I mean, it's a constant complaint because I have family members and close friends who have gone through the DAS system. Sometimes it's gone well. Sometimes it's a giant pain.
Yeah.
And it kind of seems to come and go. And I wrote in the chat to see if Ren remembers what the numbers are, but I heard on Len Testa's Disney Dish a few weeks ago that in some cases there are more people in line with a DAS pass than with Genie Plus.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
So the reason your main line is being held up is more due to DAS passes than people who are paying for Genie Plus, which isn't necessarily a comment. It's just a
observation.
That's what we are seeing.
It's a data point.
Right. And gosh, right. RGH says 75% to 80% DAS. That's crazy.
That's wild to me. If
there's, I mean, it's great that these things exist, but yeah, somebody's always going to find a way to scam it. And every once in a while, Disney has to put their foot down and say, we're going to try to do something, and we're going to try to do it in the least offensive way possible and really hope that we're not going to insult or hurt anybody in the process.
Right.
But we know that we're probably going to hurt some people in the process.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, whatever. Here's the new changes. DAS Advanced Pre-Arrival Attraction Selection will no longer be the default order offering for all DAS guests. Unless it's a family, DAS parties can only have a maximum of 4 people.
Okay.
I don't know enough about like the usage rates to think if that's weird or not, but it sounds fair.
I think it was 5 before because there have been some times where my sister's like, oh, my husband's not going on. You want to hop on the ride with us? Now, it's not as easy as just giving me a fast pass. You do have to set those reservations up in the app. You have to have people registered with the party, but you can have a bigger party. It's only 5 people that can get in.
Yeah. DAS enrollment eligibility will increase from 60 to 120 days. Okay. Current DAS guests will need to reapply. That sounds like a pain in the butt, but it's reasonable because of the screening processes.
That's the thing. It's like all of this is reasonable, but only because people were using it that shouldn't be using it. All this does is suck for people who really need it.
Yeah. Well, Dan in the chat's like, that's a huge percentage, which is not in line with the stats on disability. So, yeah, there's not 70 to 80. I mean, can you imagine 75 to 80% of guests in the park are disabled? No. Everybody has some, you know, whatever. Sure. But, like, anyway. Disneyland recently updated its DAS website and noted that guests planning to use the program and will be visiting the resort between April 9th and June 17th should note that pre-arrival conversations to determine eligibility will be available 2 to 30 days prior to your visit. In-person conversations to determine eligibility for DAS will be at guest relations locations. Guests will be able to book up to 2 one-hour return windows for select experiences using the DAS advanced planning option.
Okay.
So it sounds like, I think what's going to happen is they're like training, either they're training cast members to screen or they're hiring healthcare professionals to ask these screening questions to kind of weed out the people who are trying to abuse it, like, you know, YouTubers and stuff.
This is a tricky situation. I will say that. And it's only tricky because of
People abusing it.
Yeah. But it's tricky. Like, yeah.
I mean, it's not like rocking a rhyme that's right on time. That's tricky. But this is also tricky.
Agreed.
Two things real fast. Then we're going to wrap up. Apparently there's a Monopoly movie in the works starring Margot Robbie. So just so you know, like, you know, there's no, if you thought Barbie was good, watch out for.
I did think Monopoly. Barbie was good.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but, and also, O.J. Simpson passed away today, everybody.
He did. Yesterday.
Yesterday. There you go. Yesterday. Prostate cancer, apparently.
My man.
My man. God.
Okay. My man with the prostate.
Yeah.
No one will ever convince me he did it.
Did Deborah make you read
yeah,
if I did it?
I still have it.
Yeah.
It's in my Google Drive. It? Yeah.
You read it. You read the chapter where he basically outlined.
He's such a silly guy.
Oh my God. I don't know who you are, man. That is wild to me. No one will ever, I mean, in civil court, he was convicted. So like, you know, what are you going to do?
No, in civil court, he was not. He was held liable for the money because he had money.
For the deaths of the two people.
Monetarily. Because he was a star football player who had money to give to the families. Saying.
Okay.
Look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist until it comes to O.J. Simpson, and then I am.
Okay. All right.
Sayonara, O.J.
Taryn's going to go bye-bye. She's going to take a little naparino, you guys. She's been feeling out of sorts. I apologize.
Like, I know I'm on my own island on this one, but
you're not on an island. You have cement shoes on and you're at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
Look,
right
this
now.
Happened when I was like 10 and 11 and it's in my soul. I just know.
Yeah, think about facts.
The gloves
though.
Didn't fit. The ice cream wasn't melted. I mean, it just doesn't add up.
Dude.
Look, I read a lot of crime thrillers, and
so when you read that chapter,
there's a twist that we just haven't got to yet.
When you read that chapter of If I Did It,
yeah,
where he outlines how he did it, that didn't make you go, you know what? This actually works too well for a football player to have made up on his to invent
no,
it.
No, you
on
know what
own.
I thought? I thought, wow, his lawyer is really good, and thought, you know what? You know how we can make some money. To pay off this.
But he didn't pay anybody.
I know. And you know what happened is Mark Furman's family got the rights to the book and they published the book to get all the money for it.
He never trusts the cop. Bye, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening. I'll probably cut all this out. This whole show will be cut out except Eric's parts.
And then only the parts where you're interrupting me.
Yeah, well, look.
No, man, wait, only the parts where I'm talking. Leave in the interruptions out of context.
Let's do that. Actually, it's going to be all breaths. We're just going to cut out everything, all the words, but just breathing. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. And until next time, we'll see you in the parks.